I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, episode 20 for Game 9, Buffalo State on the road Saturday at 1 o'clock, joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Good morning, Ted.
And congratulations. That's a big win against an unbeaten team, a real gut check win. You had the lead, you gave it up, you fought back, and you made plays.
Yeah, the guys showed a lot of resolve. It was and similar to, actually remind me a little bit of the 2018 game when we beat Union at home, and the last time we had played them at home was 2018. And a similar game, it was kind of two teams kind of going back and forth that I thought both had offensive firepower and had some solid defenses. And, it came down to the point, both defenses kind of stiffened in the second half a little bit, and then we were able to take the lead late and then fortunately hold on this time for the victory. It was a good showing of fans and alums back, and always a good time to win that game at home.
I thought one of the keys was run defense. I.K. Irabor didn't have a whole lot of luck early in the game going between the tackles, didn't bust any big runs, and you put them into some passing downs.
Absolutely. They want to run the ball first and then set up some of their deep threats, which they still were able to hit a couple, but with the firepower they have, we made a concerted effort and great job by our Coach Green, our defensive staff, and especially our players of knowing the game plan, sticking to it, and then being able to rally to the ball and tackle. They have a couple good backs, but especially Ike. He's a solid back, and in the past has had some good days against us, and I thought we did a good job trying to minimize his productivity.
We talked going into the game about Andre Ross Jr., but the first-year Dunneman was the guy that made the big play early. When they scored on the big bomb, you came back with the answer bomb to Darryl Mullah that set up the touchdown. Were you thinking specifically, we need a big play to match their big play, or was that just a call within the flow of the offense?
Call within the flow of the offense. We knew going in some of the coverages they were going to face were going to give us the opportunity to potentially win the one-on-one outside. So they play that quarters and cover three coverage where basically man within the zone. They're not strictly a man team, mostly zone. But you can create certain matchups that become man within the zone, and we knew that, and we were, I think, 2 out of 5 on our deep shots. So I'd love to be above the 50%, but those two big ones were huge, not only just for the completions, but also just stretching the defense, which opened up some of the other routes and intermediate routes there. But going in, you mentioned the Ross. He's a very good player as a senior, and we kind of targeted and rolled some of our coverages, trying to help maybe slow him down a little bit, knowing that they had the firepower on the other side, but that they were going to have to go through the younger guy. One or two of them, we had guys in the right positions, just didn't make plays on the ball. But that being said, when you come in with that type of offense, when they have three or four really good weapons on the outside in the wide receiver core, we knew that they were going to get some catches. We were just trying to minimize some of those big play ones. And in the first half, unfortunately, we did give up some of those larger ones. And then credit to our defense, especially the defensive backs, stiffening in the second half, making sure that we weren't giving up those large plays.
With the exception of one play by Ross, they didn't have many yards after catch. And we talked about that going into the game. Not only are they the deep threat, but they can take a 5-yard pass and turn it into a big one. The linebackers and the DBs were jumping on those receivers and not letting them get those yards after catch, with that one exception.
Yeah, I was really, really pleased looking back at it, and I saw it in the flow of the game, but especially watching the video later, I thought our defense tackled really well. We missed a couple tackles, and that happens sometimes with really good athletes on the field, but I thought one of the really important factors for our defense was getting multiple guys to the ball. Whether that was run or pass, it wasn't always one guy. It was usually two or three guys tackling, and then doing a really good job minimizing, the yards after contact or yards after catch. So great job by our defense, and if we can tackle like that, I thought, the great thing about that, yes, we got the win, but I thought we took a step forward into showing who we can truly be. We haven't reached our full potential yet for a lot of reasons, and it was exciting to see that even though we didn't play, by far we didn't play a perfect game, but the ability to compete for 60 minutes, if we can have that fight and resolve, we're going to be in pretty good shape moving forward for the rest of the season.
Best combination running game of the year for Denham and Boswell. And we saw a burst of that old Bos on the Wildcat snap where he started right, wasn't there, cut back left, saw the opening, and that's the acceleration and the explosiveness we've been looking for all year. Those guys just keep getting healthier and healthier.
It's exciting when you see that. And that's the, don't get frustrated often, but that's the kind of the frustration, is just knowing that we haven't been able to hit full stride, and not just those guys, but individually some other players that they're playing through some things, some injuries, and just, you know, different things that when you start to see those, you get excited to say, all right, there are glimpses of that they're on their way back and return. And that's the exciting part, is why we, you know, we're looking to try to finish the season on a really strong note, is you're starting to see some guys that are really coming, hopefully, to a closer to their full potential and full ability. And I think both Tim played really well, ran hard, and I know there's a couple plays he might want back, but that was a really physical game for him. And I pointed out in our Sunday video, like, what he does when the ball is not in his hands. He had some really, really good blocks for Rayshon and a couple other guys. And then in the pass protection, he is just, his effort is contagious when the ball's not in his hands, which is my definition of a really great back, is what do you do when you don't have it in your hands. And then I think Ray really showed some of those signs of explosiveness, exciting to see on that touchdown run, him just being able to redirect. And then, like you said, that acceleration, which maybe hasn't been as prevalent so far this season, it was good to see on that play.
We've said sometimes this year, I think the backs have been a little bit tentative, looking for the perfect haul. And sometimes you just have to take that first haul, tuck it up in there, get your 4 yards, and come back on second and six. And I thought you did that well in this game. There weren't as many of the second and 12, second and 13s.
I agree. And I think that was we kind of mentioned that more coming out of the bye week. And I think hopefully the last couple weeks you've seen a trend in that direction. The decisiveness, the sudden burst, the sometimes, you know, it's not always going to be a wide open hole, especially knowing teams know that we want to be able to be balanced and have that running attack. But I thought both those guys in particular, and they got most of the carries, and then the ability to, for David and some of the other guys, that really being decisive with the ball in our hands, knowing that against a fast defense, the more you dance, the more they're going to be able to pursue and kind of bracket you a little bit, is let's make sure we're the initiator, we're the attacker, we're the aggressive one. And I think when we do that, our run game is going to be even more potent.
Rain Darrell Mull has been a big play threat all year. He's averaging about 25 yards a catch. He had, of course, the big catch early and then the game-winning catch late. You can't do that with just speed. Speed's not enough at this level. What does he do that gets him open deep and David Cruson finds him?
Yeah, I'm really pleased for Rain. Rain has come a long, long way. He works tirelessly. Like, you know, the fact that he stays after almost every single practice and just works his craft and you know, his effort and want to be better is something that I absolutely love, and all coaches love that. But he has continued to get better every single day he's been here. And that motivation, that understanding that he can be better and he's got higher aspirations is pretty exciting to see, because literally from, you know, not even just from last week to this week, but every single day he's finding ways to improve. And you love to see when hard work and that dedication pays off, and that's what happened. We had a couple opportunities, and he was targeted a couple more that we could have hit. But he's really worked on his craft as a route runner. Before, he was just relying on his athletic ability. Now he's understanding how to understand coverages and releases and top ends and where to create separation and knowing where you want the change of acceleration coming out of a cut. And you know, obviously, he does have the ability to have the speed, which helps over the top, but he's really, really improved with his intermediate routes. And in a couple of the other throws and catches that he had, were understanding the route and where maybe he would have drifted and maybe not have been in the route right route depth, he was able to do that this time. So he's continuing to improve, and I'm excited to see where he can continue to go, because he's not even close to where he, you know, his ceiling is. And I think there's a handful of those receivers that, you know, if you were to rewind a year ago, we were talking about where that receiving core was coming from. And we said we like our younger guys. They just need a little bit of time. And unfortunately, there's not really much of a price tag for experience. And now that we've got some experience at the receiver position, it's been significant to help, you know, David be a more efficient thrower at the quarterback position. And it really just makes us a more balanced offense.
In a big game, it always helps to get a little bit of luck. That was probably the ugliest fake punt I've ever seen in my life. We were speculating on the air. I don't know what it looked like from the sideline. I think maybe some of the team didn't know the fake call was in. I mean, the punter went to throw, and his target never even turned around. Is it possible that maybe the call got messed up and not everybody realized the fake was on?
Yeah, so I think what happened was there was one guy who was an intended receiver who did look around, but most of the team, I think it was one of those where based on the look they had, if they see this, we're going to fake it. If we see this, we're not going to. And credit to Coach Rip and our special teams, we want to make sure. And this goes back to, you know, we had game plan for it, and they know they ran one against us last year. They'd ran one against us in 2018. And we told our guys, it's not a matter of if they're going to, it's going to be when and when we're ready. And that's done a great, really good job. That helped us in the short field against RPI, getting that fake. And same thing here. You know, we benefited from two short fields early in the game when field position's crucial. And I love the fact that our special team guys came off excited knowing that the planning and the preparation worked out in the execution. And that's what we talk about, being that process-driven approach. And Coach Rip and I were fired up because we had talked about when they take that chance, we're going to get a short field, and we were able to capitalize on that. So, yeah, I think what happened was because we moved some parts around, the punter was one of the few guys who was expecting to actually run the fake. You know, for example, their long snapper's down covering it, like expecting him to punt it. So they 100% were not on the same page. And I think that's a great job by Coach Rip and our special teams, giving them multiple looks so that we weren't always in the same exact look. And we noticed they had modified their formation a little bit too. So it's playing chess. You know, that's what, you know, the fun part about coordinating offense, defense, and special teams is trying to figure out what they're trying to do, what looks we're trying to give them. And, you know, we had mixed up a couple looks, and that definitely worked in our advantage on that play.
Your kickoff and punting game is terrific again. I don't know if he'll be the first-team All-League punter. I think Vicente Lyon should be. His average isn't as high as some guys because a lot of his kicks have been downed inside the 10. I mean, that combination of being able to boom one when you need it and place one down when you need that, I think he's the best punter in our league.
Yeah, he's played really well, and credit to him as a first-year having the emotional maturity, you know, highs and lows. You know, you think about it, even this first punt where he slipped back in Alfred and just where he is at now. We're pleased, both him and Toby, you know, in the big picture of football experience are on the lower end of it. You know, they didn't play all through high school. They were kind of late to the sport. And we think both of them have performed pretty admirably at times. And I love the fact that each day they're just kind of consistently grinding. And really just they're microcosms of where we are as a team. You know, we have some really good seniors, but we're still a really young team when you look at the teams that we're playing. And there's two guys Vicente in particular, as you mentioned, at the punting position, who just continued to get better and better, and I think gained confidence. He boomed one yesterday in practice that was beautiful, you know, and I just get excited. I'm like, this is the first year. Now let's see how much we can continue to grow and develop. And to each of their credit, and this is, it's great to have young talent, but if they're not excited to improve, if they're not hungry for those small details that are going to help them improve, you're not going to. And those guys both are hungry to, you know, take coaching and are receptive to it. And it's exciting to see kind of how good we can be, especially in the special teams.
Seems like Vicente, I don't know if this is a skill that you can practice or not, but when he doesn't get one real well, he still gets that bounce. You talked about his first punt of the year. He kind of slipped and shanked it, but then he got about a 30-yard roll, ended up with like a 45-yarder. We've seen that a few times this year. Is that a skill that you can develop to get that ball to land right, to bounce forward?
It absolutely is, and a lot of it's based on, you know, you talk about how they hold it and how it comes off their foot. So no different than a quarterback throwing it, how you can control a spiral. A really good punter or kicker really knows how it can come off their foot, and knowing how you want the ball to potentially turn over or whether you want the point to be able to hit to get that roll. And actually, I think that's one of the skill sets he's going to continue to get better at, is understanding that, like, we don't always want to kick it to the punt return. Actually, most of the time we prefer not to, because you're getting those extra yards away from it. And we knew, number one for Union, the freshman receiver, who obviously a pretty good player, he was pretty dangerous. They've had a couple of good returners. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't going to be kicking to those guys. And I think it worked in our favor. And the one in particular hit and just kind of rolled and gave us an extra 15, 20 yards, which is the way we break it down, that's two first downs that now our defense doesn't have to defend. So every inch is important. Every yard is earned, and we want to make sure, whether that's offense, defense, special teams, we're trying to gain those. And we've been really pleased with the progress of both the kicking and punting game. And if we can keep this going, I think it's going to hopefully help us as not just for this upcoming game, but as we look to finish the season on a strong note.
At one stretch during that game, it seemed like somebody's helmet was flying off just about every other snap. I thought you guys kept their poise pretty well. There wasn't a whole lot of retaliation stuff. Everybody just made the play and walked back to the huddle.
Progress from the week before, where we had a couple of the 15-yard penalties. And again, we were always going to play a pretty aggressive style, as we talked about last week. But I thought our guys, knowing that it was going to be a highly contested game and emotions flying, for the most part, that part was clean. we still made too many mistakes that were self-inflicted on both sides of the ball with some of our decision-making, which that's been a focus for us this week to continue to clean up, but was pleased with how they handled their emotions and really how they competed. You know, you think about it, we got up, and they got up, we got up, you know, it was back and forth, and then had opportunities where, like I said, if you didn't have the fight and resolve, you could kind of start to second guess yourselves. I thought our guys stayed together, trust one another, and we talked about how, you know, we were going to get that done as a team. Not me, it was we above me, and that's how that game kind of played out. And you could see that all three phases trusted one another, and when we do that, we're going to be a pretty strong opponent and team to beat.
One of the things that hasn't been working over the last few weeks, it seems like, are screen passes. It seems like every time you throw a screen, the blocking isn't there. Is there something to clean up execution-wise so those receivers aren't on an island when they catch the ball?
Yeah, and it's funny, we hit that again yesterday in practice, just trying to clean it up. Part of it is, and I told him, you know, screens are kind of like one of those where timing is of essence. You know, if it, drop back protection, you know, you can kind of throw some routes downfield and run game here. Screens, it's like synchronized swimming. Everything has to be worked at the same speed and same tempo. And, you know, everyone talks about the blocking. And again, part of that's some of the health of our, you know, we usually have mobile offensive linemen. Some of the guys are not quite as healthy as they would want to be. So maybe we're doing a couple different screens than before. And the other part is, and one of them in particular on Saturday, our wide receiver had poor timing and caught it 3 or 4 yards behind line of scrimmage. Those extra 3 or 4 yards allowed that defense to close the gap. So I think it was part of it is teams are maybe defending the screens a little bit more, knowing that that can be a part of it. And I just think our execution of those hasn't been to where we want it to be. So, you know, Tuesdays for us in season is a big cleanup. As much as we're focused on our next opponent, we're going to clean up things that we needed from the last week. You know, and whether that's technique, whether that's scheme, whether that's timing. And we definitely hit some of our screens on Tuesday, more so just because, not necessarily that we're going to run them this week, but just to clean them up as we try to, you know, put closure on making sure that we're doing things the right way. And I just thought our timing was off on Saturday.
One of the things you did offensively was you brought the tight end, I said almost like an offset fullback, maybe a little further outside, but kind of on the wing up in front of the back. It was usually Mike Zaccone. Is his job, does he have a specific assignment there, or is he sort of the cleanup guy to pick up anybody who comes through?
Yeah, so we do a lot with our tight ends. We use tight ends more than most, and Mike in particular has been more inside, where Luke Hescock's been a little bit more outside. We'll do some sets where they're both inside or both outside, but Mike has a really good feel for being inside there. And no doubt, you know, whether he's on a wing, whether he's inside, every single play, there's a specific assignment, whether it's run or pass. It's just sometimes changing the angle. A lot of that depends on maybe the defensive line that we're facing, where we might need to help out, angles for run blocking. And I think that's what we want to do. And it worked in our favor when we played against them last year. Certain teams, based on schemes, give us the better inside. You know, so, you know, we're playing a completely different type of front and pressure this week, so we'll probably do some things slightly different. But week to week, a lot of times where we position the tight ends is going to be directly related to how we want to create some of those matchups, some of the double teams, and, you know, having the ability to have Mike Zaccone, who's basically an extension of our offensive lineman. I mean, he's tough as nails, has great technique, and, you know, I just think even though he doesn't catch a lot of passes, Mike does a phenomenal job, and there's no one that's more selfless in terms of just truly doing what's best for the offense and best for the team.
You finally gave up the lead in the fourth quarter. They got a couple of touchdowns, and I think it's easy to start thinking, here we go again. How do you just keep everybody positive on the sideline? Because that, I mean, that's the way football is. You can go out and you can have 5 drives in a row where you get 2 yards, and then you put together the game winner.
Yeah, it was interesting because I thought when we got in the second quarter, it was 17-7. We were driving. We converted a play that was would have been a first down, and unfortunately, that's the one where our running back put the ball on the ground. I feel really confident where we are right there. There's a good chance we go in and score. So at worst, 3 points. Hopefully, you're getting 7. And all of a sudden, if that's a 24-7 game, even if they do go down and score. And I think what happened was, just as you mentioned, football is a game of momentum and some swings, and they hit a big one on us. So at 17-7 becomes 17-14. And we had a couple plays that we missed in the passing game, and all of a sudden we give the ball back to them, and they go score, and all of a sudden you're down at halftime. So we were down, you know, 21-17 at half, and it was more like settling our guys down and saying, hey, you know, we're fine where we're at. Let's talk about some of the adjustments. And I really credit, like I said, I think we've done a pretty good job at halftimes, you know, making some adjustments, whether that's personnel, scheme-wise, you know, over the last couple of games in particular. And I thought our defense did a really good job. And we always sit down and talk about how does the offense complement the defense to the offense. And I trust our defensive staff, and they did a great job getting some stops early in the third quarter with Union, who's, again, obviously a really talented offense. And then even though our offense wasn't, driving the ball, I think it was confidence still being built in the fact that and it's unfortunate, but we were the ones getting us off the field just as much as it was a good defense.
Yeah,
and
you had that one drive. We said you were doomed to be at the 16 forever. You started at the 16, got to the 26, went back to the 16, gained a few yards, another penalty, and it's funny how offense is in football. You see things like that. How many times do you see a team score on their first drive of the game and then never again? It's like all the pieces of a watch that just have to all work together.
And I think what we do and the style of offense we play and knowing our guys, the more plays we get off, there's more confidence than the sense of like how certain looks set up certain. So you get a feel for their coverages, you get a feel for their pressures. And I think that's why typically our offense will continue to grow and gain momentum throughout the game in most situations. And even though we didn't necessarily equal scores, I thought when we took the field in the fourth quarter on a couple of those drives, I know as a play caller and looking in our eyes, and that's the thing. You don't have to tell me. I can usually see the confidence. I think our guys understood. We were in a good situation to go score points. And unfortunately, it was the drive right before the final drive for us, before we scored, that I thought that was the one. We were moving it, and we were pretty good. And then, you know, it's third and three. And then, unfortunately, two self-inflicted wounds takes us penalties back to third and 13. You know, in a situation there, you know, hindsight, that could have been a really detrimental one for us. Fortunately, our defense got the stop. We got it back. And, you know, when we scored, hit the big one over the top, I wasn't necessarily saying that was going to be the touchdown. It was going to change the field position. And Rain did a really good job hauling in the catch and then keeping his balance and scoring. You know, then it was kind of like, all right, now we finally got over that hump of now we got the lead to our defense. And there was still plenty of time for, as it played out, both teams to have a possession. But I thought it was really good to see that our guys still had confidence. Our defense had confidence. Our offense had confidence. And, you know, and it even goes down to the fact of, like, after we score, special teams going down, making a big tackle and giving them a long field, that's Hobart football. In my opinion, when over the years, and I go back and we had the team from 2012 that was back celebrating their 10 years, and you think of, like, some of the great teams that I've been a part of as a player, as an assistant coach, and as a head coach, man, there's a confidence that just trust that all three phases are going to and literally find a way. It doesn't always equal a pretty win. Sometimes you win by 50, sometimes you win by one. But at the end of the day, a hard-fought W, when you get that W, it's trusting that all three phases have to play together, and that's the part that I was pleased with more than anything, is that, you know, there could have been times where, you know, people were starting to question, you know, where we're at in our sideline. Even though we didn't play a perfect game by far, I was really pleased with the effort and the fact that there was the trust and buy-in that we were going to find a way to win that game.
58-yard touchdown pass from Crewson to Daryl Mola. When you call that play, is there something specific that you see that leads you to think that's going to work there? Is it kind of a hunch? What makes you decide, here's where we take the shot?
Well, ironically, I mean, there was four people out on that route, and all four could have been and slightly were open. So it comes back to, and you know, we talked about it and all the film work and the preparation that goes into it. I mean, that's a play that we've run numerous times. There was that certain route concept was specific for Union. We had an adjustment based on some of the coverages we thought we were going to see and how we wanted to target it. But the ironic part is we coached that up on Tuesday and Wednesday. And there was situations where we missed that throw on Tuesday and Wednesday for various reasons, whether it was protections, whether it was footwork, timing, route depth, all those things. And I joked around with the guys on Sunday, understanding, I'm like, this is why we coach you up so hard, is so that when you're in those moments, you go back to your training. And very rarely do you just rise up and create your best play ever. And it's a play that we've done 1,000 times over and over and over. And then when you can be those type of creatures of habit and really look at how you're able to execute it, then it didn't matter. You know, the play before, we had a play that was open to the field and David Redden in the boundary. And we got the completion of Marcus. Again, Marcus Lenz running the route, you know, and just trusting the fact if you want to be really good on offense and defense, you got to trust that 11 guys are out there doing their 1/11th. And that's what that play came down to. And if you proud coach moment here. David, when he was a younger quarterback at Union in 2019, that exact same pressure got to him. We called the wrong protection, the O-line missed it, and we took a sack at Union in 2019. Same exact pressure that happens a couple years later, and we spent time on Thursday's practice talking about some of the pressures. We call the right protection, the O-line and the tight ends pick up the protection with the running backs really well, and more importantly, now the quarterback makes the right read, makes the right throw with the right timing. It just takes so many moving parts, and that's what's great about the sport of football is that you need everyone else to do their 1/11th, and when you do all those things, those are those proud moments of like all the hours of film work and coaching and all the things come into, yeah, everyone's going to remember that 58-yard touchdown. I was more pleased with David on identifying the right protection, the O-line execution, all those little things that have to happen before that big play and completion can happen. So process-driven equals outcomes. I was really pleased, and that was a microcosm of the game. Was there, you know, I look at the defensive side, you know, the frustration of, you know, sometimes where, you know, we gave away one a couple weeks ago coming in late, and our defense gets the stop late. I mean, I was excited as anyone to see our defense, knowing that we're a pretty good defense when we play together, and seeing how they stopped the run and was able to get that stop at the end. And you know, you talk about the special teams plays. It's just good to see the work that our guys are putting in and understanding that, you know, things haven't gone as smoothly maybe as we wanted to in a couple of the games earlier on. And I said, we're so far away from our full potential that we don't have to play a perfect game to be a good team. But the fact that they're starting to catch their stride and rhythm at the right time is exciting to see as a coach.
I'm glad you mentioned Marcus Lenz, because one of the great skills of a wide receiver is to know where that chain is. And at least two or three times in that game, he ran the perfect route and caught the ball for just enough yardage to get the first.
Yeah, and you think about the one of the first downs in the first drive, you think of the last one, and you know Marcus didn't necessarily have that, you know, splash play. He made some really significant plays, and that's the exciting part. Like I said, he caught a ball, they had perfect coverage. David threw it on time to the right spot and location where only our guy could get it, and if not, we're punting the ball. But that's a play that the players will probably snicker if they hear this, because they've heard of me coach that up so many times in terms of the timing and location has to beat. You don't do it to beat, you know, the average defense. You're doing it to beat a perfect coverage. And they did it. So that's the part, like I said, and we missed a couple throws, but I thought David, you know, from an accuracy standpoint, that was one of his better games. And I was just really pleased with, unfortunately, we took the one negative play. It was a play that David probably should have thrown away. Our offensive line protected very well. The running game was there. Like I said, it started to be closer to the offense that I envision that we can be and who we should be. And knowing that same thing on the defensive side of the ball, I thought that was a closer version of who the defense can be and who we should be. So that was exciting.
At one point in the game, somewhere around the half, they were averaging almost 10 yards a snap. They barely even had a third down. But in the end, they went 1 for 9 on third. The defense dug down. And I thought the defensive line was huge. I mean, Karpowicz had that big sack late in the game. Those guys were getting pressure by themselves. And anytime you can do that, especially against a team that can go deep, the linebackers can concentrate on coverage.
Yeah, Alex Karpowicz has put together 3 or 4 very impressive games. He's definitely improved throughout the season, and he has the ability to become a top defensive player. He already is playing well for us, but I'm talking about in the area and region. And you think about it, is sometimes our D-line this year, there's not that one guy that just jumps out and say that he's the focal part. And we talked about how we rotate guys through. I thought it all starts with our defensive line. They dented that offensive line in the run game. I mean, they came in as the top rushing offense. They were pretty good. And I thought our defense started with a point of attack, our D-line. I thought our linebackers played really aggressive and ran to the ball like they've shown throughout the year. And then the safeties filling in, and safeties and corners in the run game. It takes, you know, all 11 to stop the run on a consistent basis, but it was great to see the D-line kind of flexing their muscle a little bit up front and saying that, you know, we're going to make sure that our presence is going to be felt on this day.
Odd moment in clock management late in the game. I don't remember the exact time and down situation, but they ran a play and let maybe 20 or more seconds run off the clock, and it looked like they were just giving up and going to let the clock run out, and then they sort of regrouped and went after it. Do you have any idea what was happening on their sideline?
Which scenario were you talking about?
There was some point late in the game. I don't know if it was on their very last possession, but they ran a play and didn't use their timeout, And the clock just ran and ran and ran. And it, when it seemed like the obvious move was to call the timeout right away there.
Yeah, there was a couple times where I thought they might have used one. The scenario we took it over when our defense stopped them, they had two timeouts left. So I knew they were going to kind of save it for the second and third down there. But, yeah, I think, you know, we talked about it. Clock management's a big one, and it's sometimes tricky. I remember a couple weeks ago we talked about when and if we should use our timeouts when you're behind. I've always been a big believer of, you know, on offense you can try to control the clock a little bit more. So we tend to use them a little bit more on defense to try to mathematically give the offense as much time as possible when you do get the ball back. You know, and again, every coach has their different philosophies on that. But no, I was just really pleased to see, you know, when that final clock hit 0-0-0, and knowing that we found a way late to take the lead, and then more importantly, both teams had an opportunity to really extend that. I thought we should have had the opportunity to capitalize on that last possession to make it a two-possession game, but essentially going for it on the fourth down, knew that they had to go 99 yards and with no timeouts, and then obviously the defense got the stop there. But exciting to see the defense get that stop.
And it was big to put them in that situation. You know, instead of having it up at the 25 and maybe having some kind of a shot, you know, they're down to desperation time. Even a Hail Mary's only gets you into midfield, so you pretty much knew on those last couple plays, it was going to be some kind of trickery. You know, they tried to sort of throw it out in the flat and, mm-hmm. and create some speed, and it just, you had it figured out.
Yeah, the first down play, they take the shot downfield, hoping for a 50-50 ball to go. When that got knocked down, Blake Hansen made a really good play to knock that down. And then at that point, you know, our thought was the same thing. Keep everything in front of you, rally, tackle, and the game's over. So, and even on those, it was just great to see, like, on a 3 or 4-man rush that we're getting pressure on the quarterback. And that's the part where that's I'm excited to see, because like we talked about, you know, Rain, Darren Mola really stepping up. We talked about Alex Karp. There's a handful of guys that we can go through and talk about where they are now versus where they were even just 3 or 4 weeks ago, let alone the start of the season. So, yes, we'll talk about this next week as we get into Senior Day, and which seniors, you know, are going to be finishing up their career with us. But it's really exciting to see there's a large chunk of this team that's going to be returning. And we're talking about returning to get ready for this week and obviously to finish the season the right way. But in the big picture, we're gaining some quality experience with some underclassmen.
Buffalo State this week, I mean, you never disrespect an opponent. I don't want to give anybody any bulletin board stuff, but they're just obviously a struggling football team. 0-8, they've given up 40 twice, 50 twice, 60 twice. They've been intercepted 24 times in 8 games. I mean, it's a brand-new head coach, and he's trying to rebuild.
Yes, you hit the nail on the head in the sense of this is a week, and we talked about it on Sunday, is don't get caught up looking at the records. Go to this at the standard that Hobart talks about. And we said it. We didn't prepare any differently for Union than we did St. Lawrence the week before, and we're not preparing any differently for Buff State. That's the standard of the Hobart football way. We want to be able to play and compete at our level, regardless of opponent and regardless of outside factors. The reality is they are they're going to play their young team. You know, new coach coming in, trying to establish you know, his philosophies and what they want to do. They're playing a lot of young kids on both offense and defense. Their offense, unfortunately, is struggling a little bit. So hopefully our defense can, you know, make sure that they continue that momentum that we had this week and play at an even higher level. One of the things I see when I watch the video is that their offense is turning the ball over, which equals short field. So I do believe their defense is better than some of the points they're giving up. I can say that very confidently. Just sometimes, like last week against Brockport, there was 28 points scored by Brockport's defense. So there's an example. You're not going to win many games when you're giving up those situations. But I watch them. They have athletes. I watch their defense in particular, and they have great team speed on defense. They're aggressive. They blitz. They do thrive on a lot of negative plays. Unfortunately, they've just been on the field a little bit longer and some shorter fields. So, you know, we're going to go in and give them every opponent their due respect, but I do hope this is a week where we can focus on the Hobart way and make sure that all three phases are playing at our level and our standard, and earn the victory no differently than we did last week.
I know you're focused on this week. I'll take a look at the big picture. You're going to be a big favorite in these last two games. If you get a bowl game and win that, as you have the last 2 years, 9-2, 9-2, 8-3. I know you'd love an NCAA tournament appearance in there, but there aren't very many programs in the country that will have done better than that over the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tradition and pride. You know, I know myself and our coaching staff and our players and obviously all the alums that have come before us, there's a level of expectation and pride here with the Hobart football program. we'll figure that out. Our focus right now is going 1-0 this week, so I appreciate you looking that far ahead. My biggest goal is, and most of the teams I've been a part of, is have we reached our full potential at the end of the season? And most of the time that's a yes. And I think the good thing with this team right now is that we're still climbing. We're still improving. We're still finding ways to get better. And the fun part is every single day, and I got fired up yesterday at practice in a really excited, emotional way, is like we're showing glimpse of still making those strides. And we're far from our ceiling for this year. And that's the focus on this week. Can we play at a higher level? You know, yes, we have injuries. We have guys sick. It's what's happening on college campuses. We're not going to use any excuses, regardless of if we're playing an 8-0 team or an 0-8 team. The standard is, how does Hobart football prepare? How do we come out and play on Saturday? It might be cliche, but that's how we play it. That's how we evaluate. So I'll be excited if we can go in and play a complete game, 60 minutes, compete at the level we want to compete with great energy, attitude, and effort. And if we do that, I feel pretty good. We're going to come off with a win like we hopefully do every single game. And that's not looking down on Buff State or any opponent. And then we'll recalibrate, refocus as we get ready for the next one after that. But I can tell you this, we're all excited to finish this season as strong as we can. And, you know, woulda, shoulda, coulda's, we can talk about that later on at the end of the season. But right now, we're going to focus on getting our 1-0 this week.
One last thing. It was great to see so many of the guys from that 2012 team show up. And then I went back and looked at the stats and relived that season. I mean, what a fantastic football team. You know, you got into the NCAA, and every week some team would come in and, oh, this is the end for Hobart, and you'd win that. And next week, oh, they won't win this one, and you just kept winning.
Yeah, that was that's a very special group. And, you know, I've coached for, 26 years at this point, 25, 26 years. And, you know, there's a lot of great players. There's been a lot of great teams I've been around. And that group, and there was a run for multiple years. So some of those guys carried over a couple different teams. But you could just tell, you know, there was a gathering on Friday. There was a gathering on Saturday of the guys that were able to make it back. And even guys who weren't able to make it back but reached out. You know, we talk about the Hobart football family, and it's deep, it's real. And, you know, obviously I'm embedded in that in many different ways. But I love those guys. There was a great group of guys that came back, and some of them looked even better than when they played. I talked about trying to suit them up, and the stories were flying, and just how special of a group of guys. And not coincidentally, they're great, you know, employers and CEOs and lawyers and doing some great things professionally. They're, you know, engaged. There's husbands in that group, soon to be fathers, and some are fathers. It's just what we talk about, and it's real. Like, if you take good people and they have that bond and want to get better, it carries over in all aspects of life. And there was a handful of guys, and they were out on the field, you know, just as excited as if they had won 10 years ago when our guys were out there singing the alma mater as we do after every win. And it was just really neat to see. And that gets me fired up as a coach that knows that we're continuing to build the program. We're continuing to push it. And we always talk about building it off of the tradition and the legacy of all those who put on that jersey before us. It was just really, it's really good to see kind of where we're going and building off of some of the guys who have been there and telling the young guys, trust the process. And we had Andrew Clendera and Elliot Adler were two guys who came in and spoke to the guys on Friday. You know, Friday night they were at our walkthrough practice before the Union game and just talked about what it meant to be in their spot, you know, a little over a decade ago, and the life lessons. And we all know this as adults, but sometimes, you know, some 18, 19, 20 year olds don't always realize why they're doing what they're doing, and trust in the fact of everything we do as a reason for it, you know, whether it's in that moment on a play or a coaching point, or if it's bigger picture, if it's the discipline and, you know, the qualities that are going to help them become a better father and a husband. That's why we do what we do. And obviously we love to teach through the game of football, the game, the sport that we absolutely love. There's so many life lessons. And I think that's the cool part about seeing it is, yes, the guys felt good about the win, but they're going to remember that type of win and more of the process and the type of men they were around, their teammates and everything else when they come back 10 years down the road as well.
Isn't that, that's got to be the best part when they come back at age 30 and say, now I know what you were telling us beyond the game of football.
Yeah, it's fulfilling. And again, the competitor in me loves to win. You know, I'm more process driven, and I feel like if we do everything right, the process, the results will end up taking care of themselves. But the sport of football, it's a lot more fun when you're winning than when you're not, obviously. But to me, those are the rewards. Those are the wins that I really chart the most, is like when a young man reaches out, if they go through a tough time and, you know, says, you know, thanks for being there for me, coach, or trusting in me when no one else trusted in me, or give me a chance when no one else did, or helping me push through when, you know, my young attitude got in the way, but you know, you stayed with me, and that's usually more than anything. You know, I get usually a text message, a call, a letter here or there on a really consistent basis of guys that I coached, you know, years down the road that said, thank you. I didn't realize at the time, but I realize it now how much you meant. And, you know, we understand that, you know, we coach these guys now in the moment, but it's big picture is why we do what we do, especially at this level and at the standard we hold our guys to. I am a firm believer that it's more than just the wins on Saturdays. It's the wins that are going to take them through the rest of their life.
All right, good luck on Saturday and beyond, Coach. I always appreciate it.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate you.
Kevin DeWall, head coach of the Statesman. You can, of course, find this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you go to subscribe to your podcast. And, of course, your home for all HWS Athletics news is the website, hwsathletics.com. Saturday, 1 o'clock at Buffalo State. Until then, have a great football week.